This is Ozarks at Large. This winter, several area schools have closed because of illness. For some schools and districts, the nemesis has been the flu, while for others, the problem has been a rapidly spreading norovirus. A norovirus can be incredibly unpleasant, projectile vomiting and diarrhea. It can also spread easily, remain on shared surfaces for a long period of time. Kristen Gibson, an assistant professor of molecular food safety and microbiology in the Dale Bumpers College of Agricultural Food and Life Sciences at the University of Arkansas, has studied the norovirus for about 10 years. She's with me inside the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio. Welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
First of all, the norovirus is not the flu. Now, I know that when I was a kid and we'd get hit with something that was gastrointestinal, we'd call it the stomach flu, but that's not really a proper term, is it?
No, it's a common misnomer, and you'll even find on, say, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention webpage, they'll often say norovirus, or otherwise called the stomach flu. And the problem is that flu usually means a respiratory virus, but norovirus is a gastrointestinal virus. So they are no way related as far as the virus goes.
The bad news is you can have both at the same time, though.
Yes, that is the bad news.
Well, what is a norovirus, and it seems to spread fast?
Norovirus is specific to humans, at least the one that infects humans, and it causes gastrointestinal symptoms, as you said, so vomiting and diarrhea. It spreads so fast because the incubation period is only 12 to 24 hours. Mm. So often, sometimes people may be like, oh, I have, you know, the stomach flu, because the flu often comes on very fast and hard. So you have a really small incubation period, and for 24 to 48 hours, you're feeling pretty bad. So so those are the hallmark signs of having a norovirus infection. Because of the way the virus is built, or its structure, it's able to survive for very long periods of time in the environment. So on surfaces that we touch frequently, on our hands, it's often associated with contaminated drinking water and food. So you have a lot of different ways that you can come into contact with norovirus.
Can it spread if I have it on my hand and I shake your hand?
Yes, it can spread that way. That's probably one of the most common ways, person-to-person transmission. So that person could either have contaminated their own hands because they were sick, or they could have touched a contaminated surface, then touched another person's hand, and then that person touches their mouth, and there you go.
So washing your hands, which is always a good idea, especially good here.
Yes, washing your hands is the best thing that you could possibly do. I don't want people to be paranoid and not want to go outside and touch surfaces, but really, if you are in a public place, just be really conscious not to touch your face as much as you might normally do, and wash your hands with warm water and soap.
Hand sanitizer doesn't cut it?
Hand sanitizer does not work against norovirus, unfortunately. The problem is that there are so many different formulations of hand sanitizer that unless you really know what you're looking for, you're probably not going to get the one that's effective. And when I say effective, they've shown like mild effectiveness against norovirus, but your typical run-of-the-mill hand sanitizer is not going to work.
Before the schools had problems with it, it seems like the location I would most hear associated would be cruise ships. There was this wave of cruise ships. What is it about schools and cruise ships that make the norovirus?
Well, you're just in a, it's not like you're confined, but you are in somewhat of a closed space. At this time of year, you have what you would call a large population of susceptible people. So you're in one area, you're using shared facilities. At schools, you have cafeterias, restrooms, locker rooms. I'm sure kids like to high five, hug, whatever it is. And so as soon as one person or two people introduces this virus into this kind of enclosed facility, it'll get on all sorts of surfaces, and that's just what it does, spreads rapidly. And so similar with cruise ships. I mean, you may have a couple people who decided to take a cruise, and maybe they were sick a couple days ago, and they get on that ship, and it just spreads.
Yeah. Isn't it true that you can get better? You can be over your bout with the norovirus, but you still might infect other people afterward?
Yes, that is the hard part about norovirus is you can have, they've shown in clinical trials, the few clinical trials that have been done, that a person can shed this virus in numbers that would cause infection for up to 3 weeks after showing symptoms. So as much as people try not to be around others when they're actually symptomatic, afterwards is when they're thinking, oh, I'm much better now, but they still have a high virus load. And unfortunately, if you don't already have good hygiene practices, then you could definitely be the reservoir to make other people sick.
Every year, we professionals kind of make a pretty good guess about what flu is coming, and they load up on the vaccine and they get vaccine. Can we do that with norovirus?
Yes and no. This year, they did have a good idea that there may be a new dominant strain that was going to start circulating, and that's why this particular one, it's not causing all of the outbreaks, but it's causing 60% of the outbreaks that have occurred, is called the Sydney strain, because it began in Australia, or that's where they first were able to genotype this strain. And so they found out about this. It was circulating there in March, April, and then it come maybe October, they released a report about this new variant. And at that same time, you see this spike in norovirus outbreaks across the U.S. and also globally. And like I said, most of them are due to this new variant. So being able to predict that this would come around to the U.S. is somewhat difficult. It's not quite as easy as, say, predicting the flu. They've had a lot longer time to study the flu and understand the ecology of flu viruses and how they work. Now, every year there's a dominant strain of flu, but there's also other circulating strains. So,
what attracted you to the study of norovirus?
Well, that's an interesting question. So I initially started out down at the University of Central Florida in Orlando, and I worked at a water quality lab. And we did a lot of work with waterborne diseases and also just your indicator organisms to test to see if the drinking water is okay. And when I finished my undergrad, my mentor there asked me, what did I want to do? And I was like, well, I was thinking about going to medical school, but actually now I want to do something in public health. Something related to water, maybe food. And she got me in contact with my PhD advisor, Dr. Kellogg Schwab, at the Johns Hopkins School of Public Health. And I worked in his lab for 3 years, and he came from a lab that did norovirus research. So when I was in his lab, I did a lot of work on different outbreaks. We would get samples from the Maryland Department of Health. Sometimes we would get calls from other areas of the country where they had an outbreak and they needed the sample processed. One of the issues is the departments of health have the capacity to test clinical samples, but if they're trying to figure out the origin of this outbreak, if it's say contaminated surfaces or food or water, there's no standard methodology. And so they would just reach out to people who did that work, send them the samples and say, hey, can you find out if this sample has norovirus in it? We've tested deli sandwiches, wedding cakes, slices of pizza. We got sent carpet because someone got sick on hotel carpet and the carpet wasn't cleaned well enough, and it re-aerosolized and caused a recurring outbreak. So it was amazing what we were able to do. And so that's kind of my exposure. My PhD advisor, that's his favorite virus. So I was exposed and, was able to work with it, fortunately, for 10 years.
This may be a silly question, but if someone has contaminated carpet or a suspect slice of wedding cake, how do they send it? Do they put it in a box and say, here it is? And then what do you do to get it out? I mean, you got to be careful, right?
With the wedding cake, it was just a frozen piece of wedding cake. And everything we do in the lab is in a biological safety cabinet, so we take all the precautions we can. With the carpet, that was an interesting scenario, and then they send us probably an 8x5 foot piece of carpet that we rolled out in the lab with mask on, and we cut out little pieces, and we were like, well, let's see what happens. And we detected it, and we were in disbelief. Trust us, we just couldn't believe it.
Kristen Gibson, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The world's megacities give off lots of waste heat, and that has effects.
This waste heat might have moved the jet stream a little bit southwards. When the jet stream moves south is when you get huge cold spell in areas like Florida, Texas.
How the way we live could be changing our weather. I'm Steve Curwood. Join me next time on Living on Earth from PRI.
Living on Earth, Sunday afternoons at 5 here on KUAF 91.3 FM.